this great book accurately, faithfully, holding nothing back in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn to the happiest book in the Old Testament, the book of Job tonight. We're going to be in Job chapter 1. You know, we're going to leave behind now the 17, I believe it is, the historical books that we've already studied and so forth. And we begin now what is called, it's the first of the poetical books. And meaning of the Hebrew poetry and so forth. It'll be Job and Psalms and Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and the Song of Solomon. And I believe we could probably even put Lamentations in that group as well. Job may be tonight, as far as I know, and many scholars would probably agree, Job might be the oldest book in the Bible. Some have even written before Genesis. Some have even said that Job, if you'll turn me up just a little bit there so I clear my ears out, thank you, my brother, that it might be the oldest book in the world. Now listen, we don't know who the author is. It could be, some say it was Moses, and others say Solomon, and even some have even said that it's Elihu, which is the fourth friend of Job. We do not know where the land of Uz was. Now, it's not the land of Oz, okay? Are y'all with me? You're so scattered out, it's scary. You know what I mean? We should all move to the front two rows. Well, it's just humor, guys. So we don't know where the land of Uz was, okay? No, we can speculate, but there's no sense speculating. We just don't really know. Many feel that this incredible book was written probably during the time of the patriarchs, meaning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth. And the reason I say that, and the reason many believe that, is because of Job's lifespan. When we get to chapter 42, it says that Job lived 140 years after these calamities that we're going to study out. Well, if he lived 140 years after all of the suffering that he went through, I mean, he could possibly be close to maybe 200 years old. You see what I'm getting at? We don't know that, but obviously he was very, very old. He died in of old age and full of good years, it says. Now, and so with all that being said, the other issue is the reason it's probably written during the time of the patriarchs is because there's no mention of the children of Israel, of the high priest, the events of the Exodus, and so forth, or the law of Moses. None of that is found anywhere in our study tonight. Also, Job, as we will find out in chapter 1, I'm doing our introduction, loved one, acted as high priest to his family. We're going to learn that he offered burnt offerings there for his children, one of the oldest sacrifices known to man. Noah did the same thing. The theme of Job, which to me is so debatable. You know, they say this, the theme of Job is the mystery of suffering. That may be what it's all about. If I could, you know, or it could be maybe it's the mystery of the undeserved, unmerited suffering of a man. Now listen carefully. I hear people say, well, you know, I'm having a Job experience, and I understand that. Don't beat anybody up about it. Or that I have Paul's thorn in the flesh. Listen, the thorn in the flesh for Paul was his. It wasn't anybody else's. Have you been to the third heaven? No. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Job is his story. Does that make sense? This is a story of one man, not the story of every man, all right? Very important that we see that. Job, without a doubt, suffered the greatest calamity of anyone in all of the Bible. Here is a man who was doing everything, absolutely everything right. He loved the Lord, and then suddenly everything went wrong in his life. We know about Job. God knew about Job. Of course, Satan knew about Job. But the fact of the matter is, they all knew, as we do, that Job was innocent. He had done not anything wrong. I've heard it said that Job is every man's story. I disagree with that. I don't believe that Job is every man's story. I know that we all have trials and things that we go through in our life. But the Bible, God said in verse 7, as we'll see in a moment, he says this about Job. He says, there is no one on earth like my servant Job. No one. Think about that. So when someone says to me, well, man, I'm just, you know, I'm going through it. I'm a Job and so forth. I always say, well, then if you are, then let's, do you match his character? Because the Bible says in the new covenant, there is none righteous, no, not one. None doeth good. But boy, when you read verse 1 about Job, my goodness, what a word written by God about this great man. Now listen to the faith of Job as I read selected scriptures to you tonight. Job 13:15. Listen to Job's faith. It's Job writes, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Even so, I will defend mine own ways before him. Job 14:16. For now you number my steps. He's talking to the Lord. But do not watch over my sin. Isn't that wonderful? Job says, you know, you count every step I have. You add them all up. You know where I traveled. But you know what? You don't number one of my sins. Job 19:25. I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Job 23:10, another great scripture. But Job says, he knows the way I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, gold never fears the fire, amen? And neither did Job. One of my favorite scriptures in Job is Job 35:10. And I tell you, I have that has happened to so many times in my own life. And it is God, it says, Job cries out, it is God who giveth songs in the night. Whenever you're going through it, when you need a fresh song from God, God is there for you. And then this great one, in Job 38:7, he cries out and he says, when the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God, meaning all the angels of God, shouted for joy. What a day that must have been when God laid that foundation of the earth. Amen. Now listen, I read all of those things to talk about the theme of Job. I believe the theme of Job is so many different things. For example, why is it, or how do the righteous suffer? This is a picture of that. Job, I tell you, is our example of endurance. He is our example of faith, and all these chapters in the Bible. Now, let me just read a quote, and then we're going to get into God's Word about trials and testing. Someone put it this way. He says, we cannot understand the meaning of trials, and God does not explain them. To explain a trial would be to destroy its object, which is that of a call for simple faith and implicit obedience. If we knew why the Lord sent us this or that trial, it would thereby cause the trial either by faith or out of patience. In other words, if Job had known what was really going on, and he didn't know, if he understood the object of the trial, would there be any need for faith? No. Whenever you're going through it, you may be going through something tonight, and you know you don't understand it. Well, you know what? If God told you why, would you need faith? No. Let's begin tonight. We're going to look at what was Job's foundation. We're only going to cover one chapter. It said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was what? Blameless. Did you know that word means without blemish? The same word that is used when God commands us or the Old Testament saints to bring a sacrifice, an animal without spot, without blemish. No marks on it. It had to be perfect. He says, man, Job was blameless. And not only that, he was upright. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of his word. And he was one who feared God. He was devoted to the Lord. And look at this one. And Job shunned evil. The moment that he saw something was evil, he would run the other direction. That's the kind of man Job was. Verse 1 is the key to our entire 42 chapters, loved one. Listen, why did God tell us about Job's character? Because it's very important. How would you like that to be written about you? Amen? Think about that. Listen, his character is his foundation, what he believes in. Listen, whenever tragedy comes, and it will someday, unfortunately, and whenever trials and sufferings come into our life, it is what we have been before. what we are before that determines how we will react now. So is it your foundation that enables you to endure through trials and tribulations and the things that you go through in life? The Bible says in Proverbs 22:19, make sure your foundation is trust in God. And I say amen to that. Verse 2, and Job, he had 7 sons, 3 daughters were born to him. And also his possessions were 7,000 sheep. Can you imagine that? Man, providing all that food and clothing. And not only that, he had 3,000 camels. I mean, he could get transportation and milk and so forth. 500 yoke of oxen. That means that's 1,000 oxen, by the way. 500 female donkeys and a very large household, meaning many, many servants. So this man was the greatest. He was the richest person, if you will, in all of the people of the East. So he was kind of like a Texas cattle baron, you know what I mean? Had a big ranch out in East Texas someplace. And so that's what he... are y'all with me? Come on, man. This is Wednesday, the first sermon of the year. You're not going to hurt me like that, are you? I'll make everyone move up here to the front. Look at verse 4. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day. So we don't know what that meant. Was it some kind of a birthday celebration? We don't really know. We're not told. And anyway, and he would send them and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with him. And so it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send, or literally summon for his children. He would sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and it says, and offer burnt offerings. Remember, a burnt offering was given. It was speaking of a total sacrifice unto the Lord. And it says, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, meaning knowingly or unknowingly, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job habitually or regularly. You know, whenever a person has a strong foundation of prayer, especially for his family, that is a good parent. Amen? Oh, listen, that's so important. I mean, habitual prayer for your kiddos. Oh, I pray you have a family altar, a place at your home where you pray, and where if you have children at home, that you're covering them in prayer, but you're also teaching them to pray. You know, if we could end the story of Job right there, it'd be a great story. But now we're going to move from earth, we're going to move unto heaven. That's where the next scene is. And Job, remember, now listen, he has no knowledge of what's transpiring. He doesn't have a clue. He's not privy to the information that's getting ready to be talked about in heaven. So we're going to look at Job's first test, which is from verse 6 through 22. And then Job's second test is in chapter 22. Now let's begin in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, or literally the angels of God, they came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan... we know that word means adversary, the accuser of the brethren. He came also among them, or he just happened to walk into the midst of them. Now listen, I can't even visualize that, can you? How many angels are there? Myriads and myriads and myriads. Think about that. And here they are, they come to the throne of God, and the reason they come is to present themselves, or literally to give an account of themselves, make confession, if you will, unto the Lord. Now listen, the main point is not Satan has access to heaven. The main point is this, is that Satan has to give an account of what he does unto God. See, Satan is not equal to the Lord. He's a defeated enemy. Amen? He is under our feet. He's under the feet of the Lord because we're in Christ Jesus. Now, with all that being said, look at verse 7. And the Lord said to the accuser of the brethren, Satan, from where did you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, well, from going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. In other words, I've been going north, south, east, and west. You know, the Bible tells us that the devil, in 1 Peter 5:8, he's like a roaring lion, amen? He's restless. He's an enemy. He's seeking anyone he can devour. He is always looking, if you will, for a victim. But listen carefully. When God asked Satan, where do you come from? Does that mean that God doesn't know? Huh? No, of course, God knows everything. Amen? He knows the plans of the devil. He knows every move he's making. He knows everything in his mind. There's not one thing that God doesn't know. God knows absolutely everything. And there he was. He was saying, okay, tell me the truth if you can. Of course, he's the father of all lies. He can't do that. And it says that he's on the earth going to and fro. Even today, we know that this earth, he's confined here. This is the place of his domain, the place of his activity, if you will. The Bible says in 1 John 5:19, we know that we're of God, and the whole world lieth in the sway of the wicked one. This whole world system. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:2 that he is the what? The spirit, if you will, that is working, the prince of the power of the air. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the God of this age, and he's always restless. He's always going places looking for a victim. I heard someone say the other day that, well, Satan is in hell. Well, he's not in hell. There's not anyone in Gehenna or hell yet. Amen? That doesn't happen until after the great tribulation period, after the millennial reign of Christ. That's when hell, everyone else is in, the wicked dead is in Hades. Verse 8. And then the Lord said to Satan, well, have you considered my servant Job? Now listen, in the Hebrew, let me show you how that would read in the original language. And then the Lord said to Satan, he says, have you set your heart on Job? See, God was not giving the devil an invitation. God already knew what was in the mind of the wicked one. Amen? So let's read it again. So the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Watch this. There is none. There's no one on the face of this earth like him. What a word. A blameless and upright man. One who fears God and shuns evil. That's the second time that God has spoken those incredible words about this great man called Job. Now listen, God says to Satan, okay, I see that you've set your heart on my servant. Satan, you know what? There's not anyone like him anywhere on the face of this planet. Isn't it amazing that God found absolutely no fault with Job? Yet the devil, he's getting ready to find his own fault, if you will. Why? Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Watch this now. So Satan answered the Lord and said, well, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Now, what does that prove? It proves, number one, that Satan had already been watching Job. Amen? That he already was checking him out. He wanted to destroy him. Now, with all that being said, but he couldn't get to him because God put a hedge around him. Listen, the Lord protects his own. Amen? Do you know that you have a hedge of protection around you tonight? Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you, or literally set you on the right foundation, and guard you from the evil one, the most wicked, foul spirit in all eternity. Now look what happens in verse 11. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, the devil says, and he will curse you to your face. So Satan says, let me show you. I'll tell you how upright your servant Job is. He says, if you take away his prosperity, if you allow him to lose everything he has, you know what he's going to do? He's going to deny you. He's going to curse you to your very face, God. That's what the devil is saying. Now listen, you know, the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, meaning he left heaven. He's on his way back to earth. He's going directly to Job's house. Now listen, Satan cannot do anything unless it's allowed. Now we're talking about Old Covenant right now. Are you with me? We're New Covenant, Old Covenant. Don't get them confused, loved one. But, you know, you remember whenever when the Lord told Peter in Luke 22, he says, Peter, I am so sorry. I can't believe that I've been gone for, have a break, and I come back here and I get allergies again. What does that mean? Am I allergic to sheep? Remember how the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you. He's asked permission. He wants you, man. He says he wants you, and he said, the Lord said to him, he says, ask for you that he may sift you, shake you, just like wheat. What a horrible word. And Jesus said to Peter, he says, you know what? I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. What a word. How would you like to get a word from the lips of our Lord like that? Can you do a little bit more, Lord, like rebuke him, kill him, get rid of this guy? But he said that your faith not fail. I've prayed. And God's prayers are always answered. Amen. Now listen, what did Satan want to remove from Peter? The same thing he wanted to remove from Job. The same thing he wanted to destroy in the life of believers today. He wanted to destroy faith. Think about that. And you say, well, Bill, why faith? Because faith is your only foundation, isn't it? Amen? No, yeah, I love one. Listen, Romans 1:17, four times in the Bible, it tells us that the just shall live by faith. That's how we live. Man, we trust God. We rely upon God. We believe in God. Listen, we fight the good fight of faith. Satan hates faith. Job didn't have Ephesians 6:16. It says where it says, take up the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Job didn't have that scripture, did he? No, we have that scripture. Listen, loved one, he hates faith, but God rewards faith. In Hebrews 11:6, you know, he that believes that he is, that or without faith, it's impossible to please God, and that he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the purpose here, if we can try to define it, wasn't to destroy Job's faith. Oh, no, it was to prove it. See, a faith that cannot be tested, how can it be trusted? Amen? Listen to what Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:7 about our faith, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, meaning our faith, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Satan is now never mentioned again in the book of Job. Look at verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters, we don't know their names, they were eating, drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, oh, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them when the Sabaeans, it says, raided them and took them away. So we know the Sabaeans are the descendants of Abraham, I believe it was. You can go back to Genesis 25 and study that out. So they came and they stole. There they go. They got what 1,000 oxen, 500 donkeys. And indeed, they've killed the servants, pardon me, with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep. Now that was 7,000 sheep. And burned up the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Did you see Satan behind all that? He comes to steal. He comes to kill. And he comes to destroy. Why didn't they say, the servants say, you know, the fire of Satan? Why didn't they say the fire of God? Because they weren't privy to the scene in heaven. Amen? They didn't know what was going on. And while he was still speaking, another came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands. They raided the camels. Now he had 3,000, remember? And took them away. And yes, kill the servants with the edge of the sword. I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons, your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's home. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness, the desert area there, and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Man, listen to me. You know, there are those that say this is not a real story. This is a real story. Job was a real person. God cannot lie. Amen? In one day, think about that. I mean, in one day, Job loses it all. There's 10 fresh graves now outside there on his property. I look at that and I say, dear Lord, all of his wealth is gone. When we get to chapter 2, then Satan is going to attack his health. And then all of his servants are gone, except for, I guess, 4 are left, because those are the ones who came and talked to Job and told him what was going on. And you know what? Things happen in our lives when we least expect it. Isn't that true? I mean, you know, you don't expect to walk out the door today and have a head-on collision. Amen? The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 9:12. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. Now, loved one, listen to me. Job knew what had happened, but Job didn't know why those things had happened. And listen to Job's response of this first test that he's undergone. In verse 20, look at these 5 verbs, okay? Then Job, what? Arose. That's the first time he's moved. When he heard that his kiddos were dead, it killed him. He says, and then Job arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, he fell to the ground, and Job cursed God. He worshiped. Is that the most staggering scripture in the Bible? I mean, listen, if all is gone in one moment of time, let's really examine our hearts. Is God still enough for you? If you lost everything, I ask myself the same question. I believe I would fail the test, loved one. I believe, because listen, Job didn't even give a why, Lord? He didn't even ask why right here. He didn't say that at all. He didn't even say, why me, Lord? He didn't do that. What kind of faith is that? To where he fell on his face and he worshiped God in the midst of a broken heart, in the midst of all of his sorrow. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. That's not what I would have said. And he says, and naked I'm going to return. The Lord giveth, or the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. No, the Lord didn't take away. The devil took it away. Amen? Let's keep the story correct. The Sabaeans came and all the rest of them. But Job didn't know that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. That takes great faith in the midst of suffering to say what Job said, to do what Job did. Job said, he spoke about the law of life. Naked I came, that was my birth. Naked I have returned, that's my death. We live between those two points, don't we? Amen? Birth, death. All the bumps, all the trials, all the things that we face in life are experienced between space and time, those two points. And everything we have in this life, when we go, stays right here. Naked I came, naked I'm going. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:7, what did he cry out? He said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. In other words, we're going to leave the world the exact same way that we came in. We can't take it with us. I've done hundreds of funerals. I've never seen anyone drive a U-Haul. You know what I mean? You cannot take it with you. This is an impossibility. Now listen, I want you to really think about this for a moment. What an incredible picture. God said something about Job. It just blesses me. He says, there's no one. There's no one on the face of the earth at that time that's like my servant Job. None. What a word from heaven to earth to a man about his integrity, about his in character, about the foundation that he has in his life. Loved one, listen, he is stripped of everything, and look what he does. He has nothing. You know his heart is broken, and look at the dignity that he rises to in this next scripture here in verse 22. In all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. I'm going to tell you something. If I'd have gone to my children's home and that home was demolished, and my sons and my daughters, if I had to drag them out one by one and hold them in my arms, I know my heart would be weeping, and Job had to have been. And there he takes them and he buried them one by one. You think of all the pain that was in his heart. He did not blame God. I've asked the Lord for sissy stuff. Why did you do this? This is not sissy stuff, loved one. He didn't blame God. He didn't lose his faith. He didn't say, I don't love you anymore. Listen, you know what Job did? Job's foundation was so secure in the midst of all this, he knew who to hold on to. Boy, I'll tell you, and if you don't and I don't, we're going to be in big trouble. Satan said in verse 11, you take away all that he has, and he's going to curse you to your face. Satan lost, God won. Why? There was no one on the face of the earth like this man. I don't know that I could even stand that kind of testing in my own life. And you know, I know tonight as we look at this chapter, I have to willingly bow my heart before the Lord and say, I don't understand all things. I don't understand why this happened, Lord. And I know that God is sovereign. And I know all those things. But you know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 115:3, but God is in heaven. He does whatsoever he pleases. And here, these things that were unknown to Job. The greatest man in the East, he loses everything, and he did not know why, but we know why. Now listen to me. In our lives, if you live long enough, you know as well as I do, there's going to be severe trials that come into our life. And severe testings, loved one, we're going to face them. You know, I grow weary today when I hear from many prominent Christian pastors and on TV or whatever, that you know that we are immune from suffering, or we're immune. We're not, you know, we just, everything's just going to be hunky dory in our life. That's not even Bible, loved one. Amen. That's not God's word. You better read God's word. No, listen, we're not immune. Just go. Listen, was Mary, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, was she immune? What did the prophet say to her? Said, "Oh, Mary, listen. This child, you know, he's, you know, Simeon, wasn't it Simeon the prophet holding up God in his very, very arms, man?" And he said, "Oh, yes, you're blessed among women, but there's going to be a sword that's going to pierce your heart, Mary." You look at Peter. Peter was crucified upside down. You look at Paul in the book of Acts in chapter 9. He tells Ananias, "You go pray for him." He said, "Because I'm going to show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." When we get to the New Testament suffering, which I'm going to cover next Sunday, Wednesday, then we're going to see that we're talking about suffering for his name's sake, not because we're doing things that are wrong. Do you understand what I mean? It's a different scenario. Listen, Job, it says in James 5:11 about Job, listen carefully. "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure." Boy, Job endured. "You have heard of the perseverance," or the endurance, "of Job." Meaning he didn't succumb. He just kept on going. Now listen, "and seen the end intended by the Lord." Listen, do you know that you can be in the will of God, and I mean be just everything you're doing right, and you know what? You can still get in trouble, meaning to suffer, go through a trial. And that's exactly what happened in Job's. And when we get to it, you're going to see his emotions coming out. He's going to be questioning things. He's going to have three crummy friends. You know what I'm saying? Oh, listen, No, Job is going to ask why. But in the very end, in chapter 42, God doubled everything in the life of Job. That's why I say it's the happiest book in the Bible. Amen? Now listen. It's God who writes the last chapter of our lives. Isn't it? We don't write it. It's God who's the one who's going to write it. And just because you have a persecution or a trial, Job was perfect in all of his ways, it says. But you know what? He still suffered. He went through it. But the Lord, it says, is compassionate and merciful. Now remember, Job is pre-cross, before the cross. He's old covenant. He's an Old Testament saint. We're a New Testament saint. We have better promises based on a better covenant with an incredible mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, with all that being said, we know that he, today, the Lord on the cross, destroyed him who had the power over death, and that is the devil. Now, how did Job endure? We need to get this right now from chapter 1. How did Job endure so we can understand the rest of these chapters in front of us? And Job endured by one thing. Let me read it to you from Job 23:11. Job said, "My foot has held fast to his steps. I've kept his way and never turned aside." Here it comes. "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Listen now. Job fed his heart on God's word. That was his true nourishment. The word from heaven to him, the word of God, was more important to Job than his daily food. Do you understand? He treasured it, loved one. Listen, and I'm going to ask you a question. How much of God's word do you think Job had? Come on. It couldn't be very much, could it? No. Loved one, listen, if Job was the first book written literally for the Word of God, not Genesis, listen, what did he have? How much of the Word did Job have if he lived in the time of the patriarchs? Loved one, listen, he didn't have a lot, but what he had, he acted upon, he believed with all of his heart, and he treasured it. Amen? Now listen, more than that, look what we have today. How many Bibles do you have at home? More than one? Listen, you know what? I'll tell you, I just looked at Mardell's. You know Mardell's? I'm not beating up Mardell's or anything, but I just happened to look on their website about Bibles. Here it comes. You ready? Teen Bibles, adult Bibles, young adult Bibles, senior Bibles, sportsman Bibles, couples Bibles, once a day Bible for women, battlefield of the mind Bible, she reads the truth Bible, men's devotional Bibles, Jesus-centered Bible. What is that? Fishers of Men Bible. Here's a great one. This just got me. This is the truth. I'm reading it just like it came off their website. Firefighters Bible in red. Imitation leather. I mean, hello. Law enforcement Bible. Military Bible for soldiers, military for sailors, Bibles for airmen, Bibles for Marines, nurses' Bibles. Oh, here's a good one. Duck Commander Faith and Family Bible, athletes' Bible, busy moms' Bibles. Listen, you think this is not even funny. We have so many. What is wrong? Our iPhones, we have Bibles. Our iPads, we have put Bibles on them. We can go to the internet and look up any version of the Bible anytime we want to. We can listen to 10,000 speakers from all over the world if we want to. But here's the question. Job's foundation, what was it? The Word. Well, the promises of God. Listen, he treasured God's Word. Do you treasure it? Do you take it for granted? I'm not beating you up. I love you, man. I'm asking you, this is 2019. This is a whole new year. Is the Bible paramount in your life? To the Word of God, do you read it slowly? Do you meditate upon it? Do you hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against Him? the Word of God? Do you treasure it? Do you memorize it? Do you desire it? Do you covet it? Oh, loved one, listen to me. Jesus told us in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone. But how does a man live? How does a woman live? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, how we know about Job's foundation, he made it. But how's your foundation? How is your foundation tonight? You see, without knowing God's word and applying God's word, you don't have a foundation. Do you understand? I don't care if you have 500 Bibles in your home, in your possession. No, listen, you won't have a foundation in 2019, and this is what's going to happen to you. You'll be blown away because you're not on your foundation. You're not building your lives. Now listen to me. What a person, what a Christian builds their life on will manifest itself in their lives. Amen? Is that a true word? That's why Jesus, remember when Jesus, one of the great, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, Jesus said this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, it's like Job, there's our foundation, hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, he says, I will liken this person to a wise man who built his house, meaning his life, his entire life on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and here comes the winds that blew. And they beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? For it was founded on the rock which is Christ. These sayings of mine, those who hear them, those who do them, that's so vital. And then he says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, again, there's the foundation, whoever you're hearing it, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house, meaning his life, on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, beat on that person's life, and it fell. And great was its fall. After the home is built, it's too late. They built identical homes. Do you understand? They thought they were doing what was right, but one hearing and doing, the other one didn't. Oh, loved one, listen to me. If the foundation is wrong, then everything else is wrong too. There is only two ways a person can build their lives in this lifetime. Only two ways. And there's only one way to endure. You either build your life on these sayings of mine, the Word of God, and you do them, or you just hear them, and you don't do them. And that means that person, if it's a believer, listen to me now, it means that believer is deceived. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Those who built their lives on sand, their marriage is on sand. There's a storm blowing in just like the devil. Man, he comes in just like at Job's house, those kids, and blew that place all to smithereens. You have to have a foundation. You have to build your life on the foundation of the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now listen, the foundation is already there. No one can lay it. It's already laid. It doesn't have room for any other religion. Only one, Christianity. Do you understand? There is absolutely no other way because Jesus Christ is the only true foundation that every Christian must build their lives on. You know, the Bible tells us that we're God's field, that we're God's building, that we're God's fellow workers. Isn't that amazing that God says he's given us the privilege of working alongside of him? Think about that for a moment. I mean, dear Lord, I mean, God who needs absolutely nothing, who could do everything alone. He doesn't need us. has given us the honor and the privilege to share his plans and his purposes with us, the church. Man, is there a greater honor than that? Oh, man, to be used by the Lord. Listen, Jesus said last year, Jesus says this year, I want you to follow me. I want you to work for me. I want to labor beside you as you labor with me. Is there anything greater than that? Jesus said in Mark 1:17, he says, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Mark 16, I believe it's verse 20. Remember how the Lord went with them with accompanying signs, follows. He was working with them, the resurrected living Lord. He works right alongside of you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are his ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ. We're his representatives on this earth. Listen, it is God who works with us. And you know what? When he does, that means our success is certain. Amen? Loved one, listen to me now. A lazy, worldly church will not labor for the Lord. We don't want to ever be like that. On Sunday, when the New Year's message comes, I bid you to hear it and hear it very well. Oh, the Lord has things for us to do. You know, listen, I believe that the days of lukewarm Christianity are getting ready to be closed out. I believe that a believer is either going to be hot or cold. Jesus can work with a hot or a cold Christian, but he can't work with a lukewarm Christian. He says, what does he say? What does he do? I vomit you out of my mouth. You make me sick in my stomach. That's not me. That's God's word, loved one. That's the church at Laodicea. No, listen. We want to be on fire for the Lord. We have a brand new year that we're facing right now. So you said, well, Bill, how did Job endure? Well, let me give it to you again in his own words. Let me read it to you. Job 23:11. He says, my foot held fast to his steps. I love that. Man, to his steps. I followed him every step of the way. I have kept his way and not turned aside. Meaning that he trusted with the Lord with all of his heart. He didn't even lean on his own understanding. He acknowledged him in all of his ways and God guided his paths. Amen? He says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. And here it is again. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That was Job's foundation. Listen, get into the word every morning. It's not that you have to read for an hour. You could read just one chapter. You can read the book of Proverbs, one chapter of Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters. You could read Proverbs 12 times in a year. Amen? Amen? Let the word have the preeminence. Let it have the preeminence in your life, not the TV. Listen, I know that you're here. When you say, Bill, listen, I braved the weather to come tonight. I mean, there may be ice out there, but I wanted to be here. I love God. I know you do. But we're not going to be lazy, are we? We're going to love the Lord with all of our heart. We're going to love each other. We're going to serve him. We're going to move into this year in a way I don't even know how to teach Sunday's message to you. I haven't even yet put it together because I don't know how. But I do know this. We have a word for 2019. And what a word it's going to be. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that we want to make a commitment by your grace and not in our power, but by your strength, a commitment to treasure the words of your mouth more than our necessary food, meaning the Word of God, the Holy Writ, the Bible. Let it be first place in our hearts and in our lives. But Lord, not just knowing it, but applying it. For ye shall know the truth will set you free, but only the truth that you apply. I thank you for this first service of 2019, this cold January night, a night of freezing temperatures, Lord, but not freezing hearts. Lord, on this night, this first week of this year, we humbly bow before you, Lord, saying that we love you, saying we want to do only your will. As Job said, Lord, we want to hold fast to your steps. We want to follow you. We want to deny ourselves. Oh God, we want to take up the cross daily. And we want to follow you all the days of our life. Great things are coming. Great and marvelous things are coming to a church that wants to step out and stretch their faith in the things of God. We love you tonight, Lord. Bless each and every soul that's here. Lord, again, give them perfect, safe passage home. Not one slippery bridge, not one slippery road. Let it be just a perfect ride, and let everyone stay safe, Lord. Now we give you praise on this first service of 2019. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? We're going to close with a song, and you guys know that there's always people in the front here to pray with you after the song is over. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. I look so much forward to being with you in 2019. Let's sing to the Lord.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Be with you, church. We love you. God bless you.